On a chilly April night in 1940, leading officials of the Norwegian government were invited to the German legation in Oslo for the screening of a new film. The engraved invitations sent by German Minister Kurt Brauer directed the guests to wear full dress and orders, which indicated a gala formal occasion. But for the white tie bemedaled audience seated in the legation's drawing room, the evening turned out to be anything but festive. Horrific images filled the screen from the film's beginning: dead horses, machine guns, civilians, a city consumed in flames. Entitled Baptism of Fire, the movie was a documentary depicting the German conquest of Poland in September 1939. It portrayed in especially graphic detail the devastation caused by the bombing of Warsaw. This, Brauer said after the screening, was what other countries could expect if they dared resist German attempts to defend them from England. Appalled by the harrowing footage, Brauer's guests were puzzled as to why the German diplomat thought it necessary to show the movie to them. What could any of this have to do with peaceful, neutral Norway? 4 nights later, just after midnight, those same officials were awakened by urgent phone calls informing them that several ships of unknown origin had entered the fjord leading to Oslo. A sea fog blanketing the fjord made it impossible to identify the ghostly armada's markings. Within minutes, however, the mystery of their nationality was solved when reports of surprise German attacks on every major port in Norway and Denmark began flooding Norwegian government offices. Aboard the German heavy cruiser Blücher, General Erwin Engelbrecht, who commanded the attack force heading for Oslo, reviewed his orders with his subordinates. In just a few hours, more than 1,000 troops, equipped with minutely detailed maps and photographs of the Norwegian capital, were to disembark from the Blücher in Oslo's harbor. Their assignment was to slip into the sleeping city and storm government buildings, the state radio station, and the royal palace. Before noon, King Haakon, Crown Prince Olaf, and the rest of the royal family would be under arrest, and the Norwegian government under German control. A band, also on board the Blücher, would play Deutschland über alles in the city's center to celebrate Germany's triumph, while German military officials took over administration of the country and its two most important material assets, its merchant marine and its gold. When a Norwegian patrol boat spotted the flotilla and had the temerity to issue a challenge, the boat was machine-gunned and sunk. Farther up the fjord, two small island forts, alerted by the patrol boat, also fired on the ships, but the heavy fog made accurate sighting impossible, and the vessels swept on untouched. Shortly before 4 a.m., the convoy approached Oskarsborg Fortress, an island stronghold built in the mid-19th century and Oslo's last major line of defense. The Blücher's captain was as unperturbed by the sight of the fortress as he had been by the pesky patrol boat. On his charts and maps, Oskarsborg was identified as a museum, and its two antiquated cannons described as obsolete. The maps and charts were wrong on both counts. The fortress was operational, and so were the old cannons, fondly called Moses and Aaron by their crews. The fog lifted a bit, and as the darkened silhouettes of the ships came into view, a searchlight on the mainland suddenly illuminated the Blücher. Moses and Aaron erupted at point-blank range, their shells crashing into the 12,000-ton heavy cruiser. One shell smashed into the Blücher's bridge, destroying its gunnery and navigational controls, while another slammed into a storeroom filled with aviation fuel. Shore batteries also began firing. Within seconds, the Blücher was ablaze, the flames leaping high into the air, burning off the fog, and lighting up the snow-covered banks of the fjord. With a great roar, the ship's torpedo magazine exploded, and less than an hour later, the Blücher, commissioned only 7 months before, rolled over on its side and sank. Nearly 1,000 men went down with her, including most of the elite troops assigned to capture the royal family and government officials. General Engelbrecht was one of the several hundred survivors who escaped the burning oil covering the fjord's surface and swam frantically to shore. Throughout that day, April 9th, 1940, Hitler's audacious, meticulously planned invasion of Denmark and Norway had gone almost exactly as planned. By early afternoon, virtually all the Führer's major objectives along the 1,500 miles of Norwegian coastline had been taken, all that is, except Oslo, the political, economic, and communications center of Norway, and the key to the operation's eventual success.